Hebrews is a very important word, because when you read the epistle, you see there are two aspects that keep alternating. One is the aspect of encouragement. If someone is really low, you can really recommend Hebrews. There's so many verses concerning encouragement. Let us come forward. We're not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to this. It is the time to help in time of need. He can have compassion. He knows our weaknesses. It's good to also gather all the encouragement that is in Hebrews. But the other side that is also very strong in Hebrews is the exhortation. Even Hebrews says that in the New Testament it's more grave or more serious than the Old Testament. Sometimes we think, oh, it was so awful in the Old Testament and now we're free in the New Testament. But Hebrews in chapter 12 talks about the Mount Sinai. But what about us in the New Covenant if we don't listen? And how shall we escape? So there are always these two sides in Hebrews, and we need both sides. Just encouragement is not healthy. Then you'll become loose and you think, okay, the Lord loves us and He's for us and everything will be fine. That's not the truth. This is also, look at the whole story of the children of Israel. A just exhortation is also not good. It just depends where we are. But we need exhortation. He often says three times, today when you hear His voice, we're often so, we believe so lightly. Something is said and we just say, amen. But the word doesn't say today when you hear the Bible. It says today when you hear His voice. We need to have an ear for His voice. We need to know, what does the Lord speak? Of course, the Lord uses people, but it's not sufficient for there to be people who speak. But we have to know His voice. This is very important. Otherwise, we cannot reach the goal. If we just hear man, we will not reach the goal. We have to hear His voice. Because look at the 12 spies. 10 were one way, 2 were another way. Who are you going to listen to? The majority? Then you would have been wrong. You would have gone on the wrong way. Then you would go into perdition with them. And all the children of Israel, they listened to the 10. So would you have believed that Joshua and Caleb said the truth? Or what about the other 10? Would you have listened to them like the children of Israel did? That's the challenge. We live in a time where we all have to learn to hear His voice. There is no other way. You don't get to know His voice when you just go to the meetings and you have a just go through the routines in a church life. You have to go to Him, just like the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. You have to go a stone's throw away, especially in your daily life. If I keep doing what I want, I will not be able to hear His voice. You have to really learn to say, Lord, I want to hear Your voice. What do You want to do today? What is Your way? How can we go on? How can I go on? We're not living in a time where we go through many detours. The time of taking detours is gone. We have to directly go to the goal if we want to reach the goal. And to reach the goal is not just a question of the direction. It's a matter of time. We heard about the first fruits this morning. How did the first fruits get to the goal and most of the others didn't? Because the first fruits followed the Lord quickly. They didn't go 100 detours. It's not like Monday through Saturday we make detours and then on Sunday we come back. That's not how we can become first fruits. I really want to learn every day to follow the Lord. First fruits are those who go on quickly with the Lord. They reach maturity quickly. They concentrate completely on the voice of the Lord. What does the Lord have to say now? This is what counts. And that's why I really treasure Hebrews. He encourages us, but we also need the exhortation. Because the example of those who went astray is much greater than the example of those who reached the goal. That's how it is, and none of us is immune. Even if you're okay today, that means you're also, that it doesn't mean you're also okay tomorrow. It goes faster than we think. We think, oh, I know the Lord for decades. I've experienced this and that with Him. And in the first meeting, the sentence really got to me. He did so many wonders in the children of Israel. Does that mean He was satisfied with them? We would say, yeah, of course. God helped me in this way and that way. He did so many things for us. Does that mean He's satisfied with us? No, He wasn't satisfied with the children of Israel. They still worshipped idols. That some things happen and that God helps us does not mean that He is satisfied with us. It's not so easy. Unfortunately, it is this way. He was full of wrath. Even He let them have water from the rock. He gave them manna. Do you think He was still happy with them? No, He was full of wrath. This is serious. Shows us we really have to stand before Him and hear His voice and tell the Lord, Lord, how do You see the things? How we view each other is not decisive. It's how the Lord judges us. That's decisive. And we have to tell the Lord, Lord, judge me today. Please, judge me today. Judge me now. Because if the Lord chastens me today or even beats me today, it is for my salvation. If it becomes less and less and the Lord doesn't beat me and chasten me, what's the end result? Your reward is gone. And the church suffers damage or is damaged, and you also then have to go through the 1,000 years of darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not nice. And that's why the Lord has to chasten us and rebuke us today. We have to hear His exhortation, His rebuking. And I'm happy when the Lord chastens me because then I know it's working for my salvation. And in these days, I don't just want to have encouragement. I also want to know from the Lord where I have to repent, where I have become lukewarm, where I have my service in His house has diminished. The Lord even had to tell me, look, when do you come to the meeting? And I had to say, Lord, I have to repent. I have to focus more to take everything in Your house seriously. It is God's house. Seems like a small thing. But if you add up all the small things, then it's a lot. The enemy doesn't just take a huge hammer to get you out. He uses small things, and then at the end, you're still out. You're still gone. It's a battle, a crafty battle in which we are standing. And for this, we need His voice that rebukes us. This is something you have to bring in order. Repent. How often did the Lord tell the churches in Revelation, repent, again and again, repent. Not because He was angry, but it's because He wanted to save them. It's the same with us. To become lukewarm means it just starts cooling off. It's like making tea. You pour in the water, it's 100 degrees, and then you just let it go. You sit there, and then the temperature decreases. The gradient goes down, right? And you don't even realize it because it goes so slowly. And this is the danger. And that's why we have to hear His voice. Only The Lord never cools off. He's always burning. The great high priest is always burning. So I praise the Lord that we can come to him and we can be open before him and say, Lord, judge us, speak to us, tell us, please, the truth. I told the Lord, tell me the truth. How is my life? How is my serving? Does it please you or not? What doesn't please you? And the Lord told me a lot. This and this and this and this and this, a whole list. I had to repent. But it's better I repent now than I wait and wait and wait. Not only will it be a damage for me if I do that, but for the church. Because if I cool off, because it also has an influence, then the one next to me will also cool off, and then all of us will be cooled off, and then we all have the same temperature, and it won't be 100 degrees, but it'll be 37 degrees. Only the high priest is always at 100 degrees. And that's why we always have to come to him. He's our standard. And we have to go come to him so that we will be burning for his purpose and to know his voice. Praise the Lord. He's the only one who can bring us to the goal. We harvested two very ripe figs. Otto had one, I had one. It was so sweet, so full of flavor, juicy, wonderful. I told Otto, this is how God should enjoy the first fruits. Whoever says some people say, oh, I'm scared to become if I won't become a first fruit. The Lord said the solution is to abide in the vine. There were 50 fruits there, and not all of them were ripe. But the only thing they have to do is to stay on the fig tree. Our Father is the vine dresser. He will take care of it. He will do everything. The only thing that we need to do is to stay on the fig tree. Whoever goes away and leaves because they're scared that they might not become a first fruit, then you will really wither. You will wither. You will be cut off. If you're cut off, you will wither. Do you want to wither away or do you want to be ripe first fruit? Isn't this wonderful? We abide in the vine. Our Father is the vine dresser, and he takes care of us, and he takes care of the vineyard. And the wonderful thing is, if we stay, there's so much strength, so much life, so much juice are in it that it can withstand the heat, the temperature. So praise the Lord. This is the power of life. If we stay in the Lord, we will reach maturity. Toby was telling us about the things happening in the EU now, that this system is ripening also so that the Antichrist can rule. In China, it's already all done. I was there a year ago, and what Toby was telling us, it's already there in China, and it's a lot more developed than here. The control is already in the houses. Everything. There's no more cash. Everything is ready. And step by step, we're going into this direction too. It's going in this direction. And we have to, that's why we have to see everything is ripening. Everything. But if the fig is scared of the sun, if it's too hot and that fig wants to go away, then the Lord will bring the heat. So in this heat, with the word, we can be we can ripen and be brought to maturity. And that's why we need to mix the word, everything we've heard, with faith, so that when we're in our daily lives, when the trials come, that with the Spirit and with the word, this would bring forth ripe fruit. Hallelujah. The Lord is faithful. A while ago in Neuchâtel, many places here, it was super hot. It was discouraging in a way, but the Lord spoke to us that heat is necessary. This is what the Lord also shows us. Now we have a different mindset concerning heat. It's very precious what the Lord is doing. And inwardly we had this sense, don't go away. Go on. Keep going. And this word in Hebrews, we need perseverance, endurance. We cannot go away. The Lord knows the temperature. In Corinthians, it said, He will not tempt us beyond what we are able. Yeah, He will not tempt you beyond what you are able. If you persevere with the Lord and endure with the Lord in prayer, the Lord will make it. And He will also work something, affect something with something different within us, transformation. Recently, a question helped me. What is the calling of the one who lives in you? Or what is their occupation of the one who lives in you? He is the high priest. In John 17, the Lord prays, I want that where I am, those are whom you have given me. I'm a teacher, and this is partially the truth. I was a teacher, and because I did a lot in this occupation, I became interested in another profession, to teach others to become teachers. This is not a glory for me, but it was the Lord, and this speaks to me. I really have a heart for my students that one day they always also have the competence to carry out this difficult profession. It's getting more difficult because of the iniquity and the unrighteousness and ungodliness and lawlessness is increasing also among the children. The children need a lot. But my attitude is to intercede for the students so that they also grow, so that they can also carry out their profession one day. And the Lord is doing the same thing in us. His occupation is the high priest, and He wants to train us that we can also become priests and to also rule with Him one day. This is the process in which we are in today. Don't leave. Don't jump out. Endure until the end. Just believe the Lord. Trust the Lord, also in the difficulties. We have gone through a lot of difficulties, but this is the process. But what we've experienced is that the temperature is what the Lord has set. He hasn't allowed it to be beyond what we are able to bear, that it becomes impossible. He puts the exact temperature that we need. And that's, Hebrews really brought this to the point. We really need such a high priest. It really touched our situation. He lives in us. And what we really enjoyed in all these months of the heat that we experienced, that this faith has to be nourished within us. We can't make it ourselves. Often we have the fruit before us, and we see we don't have it, and then what happens? We are discouraged, and then the enemy comes, and then he accuses you. But don't set your eyes on the fruit in that sense. In Jeremiah 17 helped us. It's this tree that spreads out its roots. It takes the nourishment. It gets the nourishment for itself and water. It's a matter of growth. Everything is a matter of life. Our work is to take care of the ground, that there's no problem with the seed. Our responsibility is to take care of where this seed has been planted in and where it should grow. It's this ground. We went through these four different grounds with the kids. We had 4 days, and every day we took a different ground of the heart. What are the birds? What is a hardened ground? And what kind of ground is it where the life grows? This is our responsibility. That's where we have to be disciplined. We have to take care of it and keep it soft. What are these stones and rocks? How many times have you forgiven? This is our work. We have to work. Our work is also to pray and to forgive. To pray and forgive. This is how we go on. And if we don't do this, then the stones will remain. And then the seed cannot grow. We have been taught so much also through the children, because with the kids, we only had lessons of life with them. And this really helped us too. And then this word from Hebrews came, and it really hit the target. The Lord really speaks to us. His word says, keep going. Don't leave now. Don't leave now. 1 meter before the finish line, before the goal, let this life within you grow. This is our responsibility. Praise the Lord for this time. Praise the Lord for His living word today. Amen. Lord, bring us to full maturity. Praise the Lord. I really appreciate it where it says in Hebrews 5:11, we have much to say concerning our high priest. Recently, I enjoyed reading the verses concerning all the different tasks or assignments of the high priests. There are many aspects and tasks of the high priests. And what really spoke to me, or what spoke to me most, is that this high priest wants to bring us all to maturity. And I saw that he also helps us through his judgment. I always saw judgment as something difficult or terrible or something extremely uncomfortable. This is what I've had in my remembrance. But the judgment of the Lord is for our blessing. It is very balanced.
J'avais relu ces versets dans Exode 28 où il parle des habits du
And I really read Exodus 28 about the garments of the high priest.
Verse 29
and 30, Exodus 28, 29 and 30. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. And you shall put in the breastplate of the judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. Thank you, Lord. We see that he has these stones on his heart. He carries us on his heart, and it's not just a breastplate, but it says it's the breastplate of judgment. This reminds me of Revelation 3:19. Everyone whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. The great high priest in Revelation 2 and 3, he tells every church what's good and what's where they have to repent and turn. And in every epistle to the church or letter to the church, he always says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. And to every church, he also says, he who overcomes. So every one of us has the responsibility. We hear the voice of the Lord, but then also to react and to overcome. This is our personal responsibility. And then in the breastplate, he has the Urim and the Thummim, the two stones there. The words mean light and perfection or righteousness. And by difficult situations, or in difficult situations, they always ask the Urim and the Thummim. And often, I don't know how it should go on, but I can go to the great high priest and he will show me the way. Psalm 19 also speaks about the judgments and warning of the Lord. 19:11. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. If we let ourselves be dealt with by the Lord, then we can have great reward. I just want to continue. I said Johanna was kicked out of kindergarten. We thought maybe people thought she was kicked out because of the gospel. No, it was just a ceremony from kindergarten, where the kids going to the going to school are set before the door of the kindergarten. It has nothing to do with the word of truth. Of course, although she did preach the word of truth at the kindergarten. And at the end, we gave all the teachers a Bible, and we pray for them that the Lord would work on them through the word. So being thrown out, so to say, was just a ceremony. She wasn't really thrown out in that sense, but they just put the kids in front of the door when they leave kindergarten and go to school. The point was, she can't go back to kindergarten because the next step in life is coming. And with every step of life, then also the requirements also increase. We can't think that we want to go on in the Lord and the challenges stay the same. How is that possible? If you ask Johanna, are you excited to go to school? She'll say no. Because she said no now because I'm going to have homework. Oh, they didn't have homework in kindergarten. But because the next stage is coming, now the pressure is increasing. It's very normal. No one is complaining about it because it's very normal. So if we want to grow in life and reach maturity and go on to perfection, don't you think that the pressure will also increase? It's normal. Because when you get out of elementary school, then you go to high school. Does it get easier? Ask the students. Or ask the students who are now in university. How long did you need for a sketch, a construction sketch? It's a big project. It's one assignment. But they worked on it day and night. Some students pull all-nighters. They work through the whole night for this project. It's a lot harder than what you did at school or in school. But everyone says, yeah, of course, I'm going to do it because I'm not doing my Abitur, my high school degree or diploma, because I'm doing my bachelor's, my master's, or my PhD. Ask Mish what she does. It's a whole nother number what she does. It's a lot different from what she was doing before. Is there more pressure now than before, than in high school? Yes. It has increased. But it's normal because we want to reach maturity. So if I say, oh, it's so difficult, and I have so much pressure here. Yeah, if you want to reach maturity, every child, every person has to go through the situation. It's part of reaching spiritual maturity. Hebrews mentions Abraham in chapter 6, verse 13. It says, as God made a promise to Abraham. So he took Abraham as an example, because if we look at his life, he went through so many trials. At the beginning, there were small trials. But with time, it continued. And at the end, he did his PhD, so to say, at the end. Right at the end, he even was offered his son. Do you think he didn't feel anything? No pressure? Everything was totally fine? No uncomfortable feelings? Surely, inwardly, he suffered a lot. He even had to walk there 3 days. Do you think in those 3 days he was saying, oh, hallelujah, I have no problems. Everything's going so well. And when Isaac asked him, you have the fire, or the things to make fire, you also have the knife, and you have the wood, but where is the lamb, the sheep, to offer as a burnt offering? His son asked him, so if you had been Abraham, the father, What would you say if your son said this to you? Too much pressure. I'm going to turn around now. I can't do this. I think we would have turned around and done something else. But Abraham knew God, and he said, God will provide. He will provide a sheep or a lamb for the offering. This is someone who really reached maturity. How did he reach maturity? Through lots of enjoyment, vacation, joy, nice things. No, he had to go through certain things. And the difficulties that he encountered, were not easy. They were difficult, but the Lord helped him. The Lord carried him through. And at the end, he was able to bring this offering, and he had reached maturity. And then he became a father of faith to everyone. So we cannot think if we reach maturity, it's a lot like surfing. You just fly over the waves. But it's a way on which we have to be trained and equipped. Hebrews shows us how he reached the goal. That's why he is called the forerunner. Because he went through many situations to be brought to maturity, to perfection at the end. So he's our example. And he is our forerunner. And what's so wonderful today is that if we are on this way, he gives us great encouragement. We don't have to go through these situations all alone. But in chapter 6, in verse 18, it says that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. We have a strong consolation. And this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, verse 19, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. So when we go through various situations, our soul wants to run away from it. We don't feel like suffering. We don't want to go through various situations. But the Lord gives us this anchor, an anchor of our soul. And this anchor makes us steadfast so that our soul cannot run away. So what's our anchor? Our wonderful Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Who enters the presence behind the veil, verse 20, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So when we go through various situations, don't forget the anchor. We have an anchor. What do you need an anchor for? You need it so that the ship doesn't float away. The bigger the ship, the bigger the anchor. So when there are greater trials or larger difficulties, then take him as the anchor of your soul and anchor yourself to him. And then you will be drawn into the presence behind the veil. And that's where the Lord is. That's where he lives, where he dwells, and that's where he has fellowship with us. So praise the Lord. He has become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So praise the Lord. Do you also have this strong consolation? We have two things, two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. He even swore that he will make it with us to the goal. And so there's no doubt. If we have faith in this promise and his then we will reach this goal. And what he has sworn to us, then we will make it to the goal. His oath, amen. Yeah, Lord, bring us to full maturity. Thank you. You are our strong consolation. Lord, we pray for us and for all the saints that together we would reach the goal. Lord, in all difficulties, when we're in the oven, we want to come to you, the fiery oven, that through you, in every situation, we would go on. And that we would be transformed.